Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Thursday, October 7th, 2021. I'm Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Western Digital. Leading off today, even though the Epic versus Apple case is likely far from over, software revenue platform Paddle is looking to get in on the fallout early. Following the ruling last month that Apple must allow App Store developers to redirect users to other payment systems, Paddle has announced what it is marketing as the industry's first alternative in-app payment system for iOS. First and foremost, it's important to note that Paddle is relatively early with this announcement. Judge Rogers has given Apple until December to update its App Store guidelines to accommodate the injunction, and there has been quite a bit of debate about what exactly Apple will need to do to satisfy the ruling. So between this lack of clarity around the requirements and Epic's appeal of the ruling, it's possible or even likely that the December deadline gets extended. But regardless, Paddle says that its new in-app purchase system is the industry's first alternative in-app purchasing system for iOS. It is said to offer all of the same benefits as the App Store, but without Apple's fees and with more control over the user experience. Developers will pay 10% for transactions under $10 and 5% for transactions over $10. On Paddle's website, you can see a short demo video showing how this will theoretically work. The demo shows an Upgrade Now button in an application, which bounces users out to Safari when tapped. From there, users can complete their purchase in Safari using Apple Pay and are then taken back to the initial application. Paddle says that this new platform will go live on December 7th, and interested developers can join a waitlist now to learn more information as it becomes available. In other news today, while the long-term rumor that Apple is planning to build a car is continuing, Apple's current presence in the vehicle industry comes via CarPlay, which allows connected iPhones to show things like maps, communication applications, and more on built-in car infotainment systems. A new report from Bloomberg today says that Apple has big plans to expand the capabilities of CarPlay to be able to interact more closely with the car itself. This reportedly could include things like controlling air conditioning, adjusting seats, and other settings. The project is said to be codenamed Iron Heart, and it's in its early development stages. The feature would be designed around CarPlay being able to tap into car controls, sensors, and settings for things like inside and outside temperature and humidity readings, temperature zones, fans, and the defroster systems, settings for adjusting surround sound speakers, equalizers, and other audio equipment, settings for moving seats and armrests, and even access to things like the speedometer. So by gaining access to controls and instruments like this, CarPlay could be turned into an interface that could span the entirety of the car. If this project comes to fruition, Iron Heart would represent Apple's strongest push into CarPlay since it was released in 2014, but ultimately its adoption depends largely on acceptance by automakers. We are sponsored this week by Western Digital. We've teamed up with Western Digital to give away Apple's newest M1 iMac and to offer our listeners some special deals on the latest My Passport SSDs. Western Digital's new My Passport SSDs feature read speeds of up to 1,050 megabytes per second and write speeds of up to 1,000 megabytes per second. These speeds allow you to manage your files quickly from anywhere. They also include password protection with hardware encryption, along with simple backup software to get your important files into your cloud service account or to your Time Machine backup. The latest lineup features a sleek and durable metal design and a selection of new colors to match your device. They also offer shock and vibration resistance as well as protection from drops up to 6.5 feet. For a limited time, you can get notable deals on a selection of Western Digital's My Passport SSDs, including 1 TB and 2 TB models, in a range of colors. Hit the link in the show notes to find out how and to enter the iMac giveaway. Rounding out today, Apple has released iOS 15.1 Beta 3 to developers and public beta users. Notably, the update includes 2 major enhancements to the camera experience on the iPhone 13 and iPhone 13 Pro. First and foremost, for the iPhone 13 Pro and iPhone 13 Pro Max, iOS 15.1 Beta 3 features native support for ProRes video capture in the camera application. To enable ProRes, you simply need to go to Settings, choose Camera, and choose Formats, then look for the ProRes toggle. Enabling this switch will show the updated camera controls for Apple's ProRes format in the default camera application. Apple says that ProRes footage consumes a lot of storage, with 1 minute of recording at 1080p taking around 1.7 gigabytes, and 1 minute at 4K taking 6 gigabytes. But for professional videographers, this high amount of storage usage could be worth it for the highest quality video from your iPhone 13 Pro as possible. We've got more details on how this works at the link in the show notes below. Furthermore, iOS 15.1 Beta 3 also adds a new option to disable the auto macro mode for the camera application. With iOS 15 on the iPhone 13 Pro and Pro Max, the iPhone's camera will automatically switch to macro mode when you get close to your subject. This can make for a jarring animation in the camera application as the iPhone switches lenses, and sometimes you simply might not want macro mode to be enabled. So now, if you head into the Settings application, then choose Camera, you'll see a new toggle for Auto Macro. When enabled, this feature will automatically switch to the ultra-wide camera to capture macro photos and videos. But if you disable the feature, you can manually put your iPhone 13 Pro into macro mode by switching to the 0.5x ultra-wide lens in the camera app, then getting close to your subject, then tapping to focus. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com, follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.